When we pause to sing a song like this, it is a pause in which the sacred can nudge us, in which we're reminded of the sacred that weaves in our everyday life. Here we are on this first Sunday of December as the cold weather becomes our new normal. Tomorrow is the first day of Hanukkah, the Jewish festival which lasts 8 days. In a few weeks, the winter solstice will mark the shortest day of the year. I thought it fitting that as we journey into these days of darkness, that we sing this Buddhist song. May we be filled with loving kindness. What a prayer. May we be peaceful and at ease. Really? Really, when we've just had 3 memorial services in 1 month in our church family? When we've been hosting Pachem and can see the pain of homelessness in our community? Peace and ease can seem pretty far away. May we be peaceful and at ease. What a prayer. What a prayer for these days when the news brings horrific stories. When I was preparing for this sermon this week, there was a gentleman at my house repairing the plumbing, and I said to him, if you were to go to church on this Sunday, what would you want to hear from the pulpit about San Bernardino? He said, what I think can't be said in church. I asked a friend. She said that when in the car this week with her 5th grade son and the radio newscaster began to talk about San Bernardino, she turned the radio off. Off. For how can we make sense of all this for children? And even for ourselves, for our inner child. There are some things that seem to defy words. The news tells us about many things, proposed policies about access to guns, leaders creating climate policies, presidential candidates. And the news doesn't tell us other things about veterans seeking normalcy, prison overcrowding, and what it's like to be Muslim in everyday life. Our world today is complex, and we try to be aware, we try to be educated, try to be informed, try to be responsive, and yet some days it's just overwhelming. If we try to read all the perspectives, take action on all the issues, perhaps we might get ourselves in such a fluster that we lose what is most important, our connection to our center. The capacity to hear our inner, still, small voice. So as we enter this December, this time of year, which so many world religions see as a time of waiting, a time of expectation, I think we need to pause and notice what kind of expectations we're having. Are we having expectations that things just can't turn out all right? The message that I would like to lift up today is that in this season of expectations, we can be alert to the presence of fear within ourselves. Fear is one type of expectation. But we do not need to be limited by our fears. We can respond in constructive ways. Respond to inner fear by connecting with reassurance. Now, ideally, we would easily find spiritual practices that allow us to find this reassurance, allow ourselves to be empty of fear, a contented emptiness, an inner spaciousness. But is it possible to allow emptiness and spaciousness while also going along with the necessities of life? And when some of these necessities fill us with fear? And isn't this the ancient human dilemma, how to avoid being paralyzed by fear or letting fear whip us into a frenzy? Here is one example. In the 1950s in this country, school children had drills called duck and cover drills in case an enemy country dropped an atomic bomb. Now, some schools have active shooter drills. This is part of our social and family reality. How can this be done in a way that is helpful but not hurtful? Our church board has been trying to prepare us in realistic, sensible ways with thoughtful preparation in case of a disaster. How can this be done in a way that is mindful? Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a little girl and somebody told me not to be afraid, I found it really maddening because I was pretty sure I was justified in being afraid sometimes. And to this day, I don't like simplistic or fakey reassurance. If there's a problem, I want to name it and face it. If there's a threat, I want to be realistic in how to respond. Fear serves a purpose in helping us identify potential harm and avoid it. When we turn to science and the field of psychology, we find research that is focused on helping people figure out what are reasonable fears and how to handle them so that anxiety and panic do not become a crippling problem. If people get stuck in fear, they may miss out on doing things that are meaningful. If people experience deep insecurity, that insecurity can hinder them in pursuing their life purpose. One specialist on coping with anxiety and phobia, named Dr. Edmund Bourne, suggests many tools, and I would like to name two for you. One is reaching out, and the second is spirituality. So the first one, reaching out. Whenever any of us feel overwhelmed, a tool that we have, a tool that can be taught to children and grandchildren, is to reach out. Find the ways that help you not be isolated in that overwhelm. And in reciprocation, this is what we can try to do when someone else is overwhelmed. I saw this in action this past week when our church member Katie Korish died. Her sister was from another state. Her son was living in another state. They were in grief and overwhelm, and our church members showed up and helped them have a memorial which was meaningful and in which they could host their other relatives. Perhaps as you consider gifts that you will give this holiday season, one gift might be to reach out to someone that you think might be isolated and overwhelmed, someone who's feeling fearful. A second tool for dealing with fear is spirituality. Fearful expectations don't serve us because we feel separate and alone, while in reality, when we remind ourselves that we're connected to all of creation, we are not separate and alone. And this interconnection means that there is wisdom beyond our narrow thinking. I'm going to quote this psychologist, Dr. Bourne, who counsels that guidance is available from our intuition when we ask for it. He says, "Your higher power has a universal wisdom that goes beyond what you can accomplish with your own rational intellect." Some people experience this as a visionary experience, he says. And I'm going to venture further and say some people experience this as a visionary experience, which might be called an angel. And so, my friends, I don't think it's a coincidence that the story of Joseph and the angel is often told this time of year when the days are short and the nights are dark. So here's how the story goes. Joseph is engaged to Mary. And one day, Joseph finds out Mary is pregnant. Not by him. Now, I don't know about you, but I figure that pretty much any guy in any culture, in any place, at any time in history, would be pretty upset to find out that his fiance was pregnant by somebody else. So what does Joseph want to do? He wants to call it off. He's going to give up the dream of the life he had with this woman. He's going to say goodbye to the life he planned with this future wife. In fact, he's even going to try to save her dignity by letting her go quietly and not publicly disgracing her, because he's an upright guy. His heart is broken, but he'll try to figure out a way to go on. And maybe you can relate to that kind of feeling. Maybe you've had times in your life when you expected one thing and it seemed to be all falling apart. But you tried to figure out the best way to proceed, taking others into consideration, finding the high road. Well, in this story, before Joseph can get very far with his broken-hearted plan for separating from Mary, an angel appears to him. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid. Go ahead, marry her. It's going to be all right." This story is in the Christian text called Matthew. In other parts of the story, angels appear to other people too and tell them not to be afraid. They tell that virgin, Mary, who was trembling with shock, not to be afraid. Why? Because she has found favor with God. An angel also finds some shepherds who are out on a hillside. The text says they're terrified. Maybe the shepherds thought they'd had too much to drink and they were seeing things. The angel reassures them, "Do not be afraid." Why? "For I am bringing you good news of great joy, not just for yourself, for all people." So, my friends, do you hear that common refrain, that pattern of reassurance? Do not be afraid, because there is a goodness, a joy for all people. More generally, there are forces outside yourself that are on your side. Now, in the story of Joseph, it did work out. The angel came to him in a private moment, and he found reassurance for proceeding with his life. I ask you, in this season that is coming up, what are the things that you are expecting? And how might your fears find reassurance? How might you show up for other people and let them show up for you?